revive you. I don't got time to watch love and hip hop. I got time to watch my money grow to the tip top. Don't got time for chit chat. Trying to get my weight up. Can I get another Big Mac? Y'all niggas sit back. Watch Vizio till I pop up in your visual with a smile on my face. I see the vibe on my face. You couch potato, you house potato. Well, I'm up in the studio trying to find my way, yo. Way, yo. Trying to make it to the tip top. Ooh, trying to make it to the tip top. Yeah, trying to make it to the tip top. Ooh, tip top, tip, tip top. My mind ventures.
Yeah.
Of an adventure.
Yeah.
To the top, nigga.
What's going on, fam? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. That's the new cut by an artist named Phoenix. You can check his stuff out on SoundCloud. That's Tip Top by Phoenix. What's going on? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in today's show. I'm ready to chop up some good game with the family. It's a beautiful day, beautiful week, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is brought to you by a new documentary film that's in the making called The Melanin Code. It's a highly anticipated documentary that takes a deep dive into how people of color can organize and create generational wealth. History shows that over 300 years, there have been steps taken to divide us mentally, and we need to make a conscious effort to end the insanity. Other groups have a code of conduct they abide by, so we need to establish ours. So check out the documentary called TheMelaninCode.com. That's where you can see the trailer. You can help fund the film. Also check out The Honey House, DAHoneyHouse.com. That's where you can socialize, meet new friends, chop up game, holla at the ladies. Ladies, you can holla at the fellas with the swag and all that good stuff. Remember, it's a free site. That's TheHoneyHouse.com. Now, family, we're going to chop up some good game on today's show. I'm going to take a lot of your calls. The phone number is 818-850-5404. And we're going to take a real quick break, family. And when we come back from that break, we're going to take some of your calls. And we're going to chop it up right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show.
On August 1st in Chicago, Illinois, Black Channel Films will be hosting an historic three-hour roundtable with Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Claude Anderson, and attorney Alton Maddox to discuss the creation of a black business district for the first time since the original Black Wall Streets and how you can get involved. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event. That's August 1st in Chicago, Illinois. Get tickets now at theblackchannel.net. That's theblackchannel.net.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
Get ready to join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker Tariq Nasheed live on the Code of Conduct Lecture Tour this summer. Sunday, July 5th at the International House of Philadelphia in the city of Philadelphia. Saturday, July 5th at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. And Saturday, July 18th at the Southfield Center in Detroit. Get tickets now at www.tariqlive.com. That's TariqLive.com.
If you have a business or a brand, you need a professional website. And Black Line Web Design offers websites at a price that you can afford. For only $200, you can get a customized 6-page website with amazing features like a photo gallery, options to include your logo, and professional images, Google Maps, and so, so much more. Grow your brand and increase your sales with this website. Visit them today and use the coupon code Tariq20 to get $20 off. BlacklineWebDesign.com. That's BlacklineWebDesign.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Martin was king, Malcolm was militant, but Stokely was power. Witness a young Stokely Carmichael expound on the philosophy of black power as he prepares for a standoff with police during the March Against Fear. Power, Stokely Carmichael, is a blistering solo one-man show by actor-playwright Michonne Lebrun. This world premiere opens July 11th at the Eastman Studios of Gallaudet University, Washington, D.C. For tickets and showtime, go to capitalfringe.org or call 866-811-4111.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Just twist around like a tornado, girl.
Yo, we are back right here on Tariq Elite Radio, family. Glad to have everybody tuning back in. And I am on my lecture tour as we speak. I'm about to leave out for Detroit. The Code of Conduct lecture tour is just doing phenomenal. We're playing sold out crowds around the country. And I'm having a ball, family. Shout out to everybody in Philly who came out. We had a wonderful turnout in Philly. Shout out to everybody who turned out last Saturday in Atlanta. We had a ball down in Atlanta. I really like that theater in Atlanta. From now on, I'm going to have a lot of my lectures at the Alliance Theater. Very nice theater. I love that theater. Nice and spacious, man. It was a very comfortable setting. I absolutely love that theater. And I love Atlanta. We had a ball in Atlanta. Shout out to everybody who came out. I really enjoyed the crowd. We had Jay Slim come on stage. He was in the audience. I brought him on stage. I got a video of that. And we just had a great time in Atlanta. I'm going to be in Detroit this Saturday, July 18th. So everybody around Detroit, close to Detroit, in Detroit, around Michigan, Cleveland, Milwaukee, you can get your tickets now at TariqLive.com. We're going to be at the Southfield Center this Saturday. Now, this lecture starts early. It starts at 4 o'clock. Usually, my lectures start at 7, but this one is going to start early. It's going to be from 4 to 7. So, you guys got to get up there early. And again, all the information is at TariqLive.com. It's going to be off the chain in Detroit. We're going to have a ball out there. And don't forget to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. So the phone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 818-850-5404. Let me know what's on your mind, family. Let me see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what up, Tariq? This is LP from L.A.
LP from L.A. How you doing, fam?
I'm doing good, man.
Now, are you jogging? Are you riding a unicycle, brother? Why are you out of breath?
Oh, no, it's all good, man.
Okay. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, when you finish your first draft for your book, how'd you find a publisher for it?
You know what? There's, when you write a book, there's a book that you can get called the Literary Marketplace. All right. It's a real thick book. I think in bookstores it costs like $80, but you can go to the library and also check the book out as well. But it's a book called The Literary Marketplace. It has the name of literally every book publisher in the world. And when I did my book, The Art of Mac, and when I first wrote that, I got the book, Literary Marketplace, and basically just did an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I just looked for book publishers who published black books, which were kind of a few. But I wanted somebody, a small publisher, who specified in black books. And I found a publishing company out of Chicago called Frontline Books. And that's who I sent the manuscript to. And they loved it. And they offered me a contract. And the rest was history. So the Literary Marketplace, that's where you should go. Got it?
Got it. Peace out, man.
Much respect, man. Also, with book publishing today, family, you can really get it done on your own. You can just get like a print-on-demand company, just find you a cool editor, and kind of put your books out by yourself now, because there are not too many bookstores out anymore. And basically what the publishers are going to do, they're going to put your stuff online. And, you know, the internet, that's the great equalizer to a certain degree. You can put your stuff online. That's all they're going to do is put it online. Like Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com, and you can do that. You just got to get a real good editor. Now, with the major publishers, they might do some promotion, and that's why I stopped really rocking with the major publishers, because what happened was, you know, the internet started taking over, and also I had a lot of publicity that I was getting on my own, and when I started getting the major book deals, you know, they would give big advances, a couple of $100,000 here and there, but they would own the rights to the book. And you would have to recoup that. So you wouldn't make a profit until they recouped that $100,000 that they gave you or loaned you. Remember, it's just a loan. And basically, I'm getting all the publicity myself. So I'm looking at them like, okay, what do I really, really need them for? Basically, they're just giving me a loan that I got to pay back. Then they own the rights to my book. Because I noticed when I put my books out, or they put my books out, different movie companies and TV stations wanted to license the rights, and that's where a lot of the real money is. That's why my book, The Art of Gold Digging, I licensed that out to VH1 and got like a grip of paper, and the book wasn't really out yet, and I was about to sell it to a major publisher, but I said, oh, let me chill, because if I had sold that to a major publisher, I wouldn't have gotten the money. I would have had to go through the publisher in order to sell the rights to a television network. So there's a lot of ins and outs behind the book game that you got to understand so that you can really maximize on your paper. I might have to do a seminar on that. I might have to do a specific seminar on that to really break that part of the game down. Let me get some calls here. What's up? Who's calling?
Tariq, what up, man?
What's up? Who's this?
Charles calling from South Buffalo.
Hey, man, what's going on with you, fam?
No, man, I need some advice, bro.
Go ahead, let's chop it up. What's up with you?
Yeah, man, like, I'm 27 years old. I'm working and whatnot. I'm not doing too good with the ladies right now.
Okay. So are you going through a drought, or how long have you not been doing good? How long you been going through this?
I want to say about a couple of months now.
Okay. So in the last couple of months, you've been going through a little drought. Now, before, a couple of months ago, how were you doing?
I was doing all right.
All right, like in what? I mean, were you bagging the ladies? Were they cooperating? I mean, what was the deal?
I mean, I was talking to chick. My whole thing is, like, I'm kind of, what's the word? Like an introvert,
right?
They would say. Like, kind of shy and shit.
Okay.
I'm trying to work on it, though, man.
Okay, but I want to see what type of success you have had. You've had some success with the ladies, right?
Yeah, I'm not a virgin or anything like that.
I understand that. But I want to know what happened 2 months ago, which really intensified your drought. What happened?
I just got, like, my problem is, like, I'm just bad with women, man.
Okay. Now, again, because you specified the 2 months thing, because I want to know some of the patterns that you have, some of the dating patterns, some of the social patterns that you have. You're bad with women. When was the last time you had a girlfriend? Let's start there.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I never really had a girlfriend here.
Damn. Okay, so it's been longer than 2 months then. Is that what you're saying?
Like what? Like I've been with her, like had sex with her.
Okay, so
been in like a relationship.
Okay, I'm trying to get the gist of everything. So 2 months ago, what were you doing with the? Did you have a lady you were having sex with? What was going on 2 months ago?
I was basically that was the last time I had sex, like 2 months ago.
Okay, now who?
As far as like being in a relationship and like having, I never really had a girlfriend.
Okay. But you had women that you would smash, or were you tricking your money off? I mean, what was the deal?
No. I don't do that.
Okay. So
I know your rule on that. That's a no. I know that.
Right. Now 2 months ago when you smashed, this was just like a casual female, just a kind of a neighborhood mud duck. What was the situation as far as that?
Basically, yeah. Some chick. I was just outside, and we just started talking, and came in my apartment, and we did the do. And that was that.
Oh, damn. So just like you met her, and you bagged her right then and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and my whole question is, like, well, where's the best places I should go to, like, really talk to women? Like, is it clubs or bars?
It just really depends on your city. And that's very interesting that the last female you smashed, and that's very important. What you said is very interesting, and a lot of guys should pick up on what you said. So basically, you had sex with a mud dub that you were just kind of chopping up with. You lowered your standards, right?
Was that a bad thing?
Well, I'm about to explain. Now, how ugly was this chick?
I mean, she wasn't all that. I would keep it 100 with you, Tariq. King Flex.
Yeah, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give her?
Like a 4.5.
Okay, so you were with somebody who looked like some shit from Lord of the Rings, okay? Okay, you were with Gollum with a finger wave, all right?
Yo, come on, Uncle Flex. Yo, we all had our moments.
I know, we've all eaten from the ugly tree. I understand that, but it's very interesting, and I tell guys, and I want you to listen to your situation. A lot of times when you lower your standards, like you did a couple of months ago when you banged a mud duck, all of a sudden you got really deep into a drought and a funk with the ladies. Because now when you bang that mud duck, when you lower those standards so low and bang somebody, you know you really shouldn't bang in, but you just bang them out of opportunity. You start saying to yourself, well, damn. My standards are low, so I'm not even worthy of a dime. So now your self-esteem goes down from messing with them mud ducks. I tell cats, stop messing with them mud duck-ass broads just because they're there. Because that ultimately fucks with your self-esteem. Now you're feeling fucked up about yourself because now you know you've laid down with a sea urchin. And now you're like, fuck, man, I'm not doing too well. Now it dawned on you. Because now you're laying up with something and you're accepting something that's beneath you to a certain degree. So that's rule number one. So let's feel me. One thing, stop messing with the mud ducks like that out of opportunity. Yeah. That's number one. Cut that out. Because, I've done that before, man. Just out of opportunity. I'm like, she's here. Let me hit this. And then you feel bad afterwards. You're like, oh, God damn. I just had sex with a motherfucker who looks like a Flex.
But I know you, like, I try to talk to, like, more attractive female. But my whole thing is, like, I don't want to get shot down. I don't like the rejection thing. That's what fucks with me.
Yeah, but what's going to even fuck with you more is the laying up with the mud ducks. Lowering your standards, that's going to mess with you even more. So you might as well campaign high. You dig? You just campaign high. Don't worry about getting rejected because look at what you're being accepted by. You understand? I would rather be rejected by a dime than be accepted by a duck. You understand?
I'll tell you.
So stop trying to get accepted by these ducks because that's just going to validate your low self-esteem. So you need to go ahead and campaign. You might get rejected by some of the dimes every now and then, but understand this, man. If your mouthpiece is crisp and you're confident in yourself and you know that you got your shit together, you're going to get some cooperation from the dimes. You understand that? So it's all about getting your shit together, getting your money game together, getting your career together, finding your calling in life, because you haven't found your calling yet, right?
Yeah, well, I'm 27 years old. You think that's a little too old, like 27?
To find your calling in life?
Like, basically being in my situation, like...
Brother, it's never
too really getting women.
Listen to me. Look, brother, you got to find your calling in life. And I've been talking about this on my lecture tour. You got to find your calling. See, right now, you're in that confused stage. A lot of us in our 20s, we're trying to figure it out. You dig? And you're trying to figure it out. And you think, well, damn, I'm 27... I don't know what I want to do with my life, and you're not confident in your calling because you haven't found it yet, because you haven't tried enough things, and you haven't accumulated any wisdom yet to figure out what you want to do in life. So a lot of times we just look at the type of females we bang as our calling. We find our self-esteem in the women we bang, and now that you're banging mud ducks, your self-esteem is fucked up. So you really got to find your calling, and you're not too old. Have you figured out what you wanted to do yet? Or are you trying to figure out what you want to do yet?
Well, I just got some money a couple months ago in like a settlement. So financially, I'm straight.
What kind of settlements you get?
I can't really go into details, but like when we were kids, like we were staying in this house and the house was like kind of fucked up. They had like lead issues.
Oh, okay.
So
So they gave y'all a little, but that's not your calling, though. That's just basically a lottery. You got a little lottery ticket money. And now, after y'all trick that off and fuck it off, which is what y'all niggas do all the time, y'all get some a settlement.
I've been listening to you. Like I'm smart financially. Like I'm not a dumb nigga. Right. I've been listening to you about getting our financial game up.
Oh, okay, so you ain't got no spinning rims by now, brother.
Nah.
But again,
I live modest. I got a little one bedroom apartment, a little struggle mansion.
But you still got to find your calling, though, what you want to do as a living. You, basically, again, you just won the lottery with that for one time. But you still have to figure out what you want to do with your life. Because when you figure out what you want to do with your life, you're going to be passionate about that. And that passion is going to give you confidence. And that confidence is going to transfer when you're hollering at the ladies. You feel me? So you're not too old. You think you're 27. You know what? One of my favorite singers, Charlie Wilson. Well, Charlie Wilson's one of my favorite singers. Now, Charlie Wilson, he has a book that he just put out about his life. Real good book. I think it's called I Am Charlie Wilson. Y'all get that book at Amazon. But Charlie was talking about Charlie Wilson. He was in a group called the Gap Band with his brothers. They had hits for years. All through the 70s and 80s, they had hits, but they did not have money. They were getting fucked out of their money royally. They weren't making shit. They were, you know, just doing all these tours and they were broke. And Charlie Wilson in the late 80s and early 90s, he got strung out on crack. He was literally a crackhead. And Charlie Wilson really kicked his solo career off a few years ago. He really didn't start making money until he got in his 50s. And he says now that he gets money from his one show now that he makes now performing. He makes more now in one show than he ever did in his whole career with the Gap Band. So Charlie Wilson really didn't get his career off in a successful way until his 50s. You get that?
Yeah.
So you're calling, brother, man. You're never too old for that, man. Start figuring out what you want to do. You got that settlement. You think you made it. That's why you're not fulfilled. That's why you're out here fucking these little Pokemon-looking-ass chicks out here, man. Find your calling, find out what you want to do with yourself, and then focus on that, and that passion and energy and confidence is going to translate towards the ladies. You feel me?
So you flex. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Give me some good financial advice. What should I do?
Real estate, man. What city are you in?
I'm in Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York, man. Buy up some of those houses that's in those so-called black neighborhoods that's deteriorating, that's about to be gentrified by the white supremacists. That's what I'm telling a lot of black folks doing. These white supremacists are coming in these neighborhoods on the low, getting these houses that black folks let sit up and rot for years. Start getting some of those damn houses right now, because the white supremacists are coming in droves, and those houses are going to go up sky high. I done already bought a house down in Atlanta, and I'm going to go down
there. They got a program called the Homestead Program where you can get like houses starting at like a dollar out here.
Yeah. Nigga, take advantage of that, man. You got Asians and Arabs going into Detroit, taking advantage of all those decrepit houses. Get into that real estate game, fam. Do that and let your money stack up, bro. You feel me?
Alright, thanks, Flex.
Thanks for the call, fam. Yeah, man, you gotta find out who you are. Don't lower those standards. See, the thing is, if you don't know who you are, man, if you haven't tried to figure yourself out, all you're gonna do is start lowering your standards, because now you're gonna start looking at the people you date trying to find confidence and your standards in them. And because you have a fear of rejection, you're going to go for the low-hanging fruit. And all the low-hanging fruit is going to do is solidify the low self-esteem mentality you already have. Always got to keep your game on. Me and my partners, when we would go out, we would make sure each of us would keep our standards high. We would give little signals to each other. We'd be out at the club, and if one of the homies saw me macking to a less than stellar looking female, he would kind of raise his hand up in the air like, hey nigga, look, raise your standards up now. Don't do that now. You're gonna misrepresent the clique. And we would kind of do that with each other. We see somebody kind of slumming on the ugly tree a little bit, we say, hey man, come on, man. Come on over here, man. You don't want to go there. Keep your standards high. You're going to make the crew look bad. It's just like when you get bottle service at a club and you get your little table and you got the velvet rope. You notice the dudes behind the velvet rope at the club, when they got the bottles and everything, they usually have a lot of dimes with them. They got all the dimes sitting around them. Because that's going to make your shit look fly. Every now and then, the mud ducks will try to creep under them velvet ropes, and you got to be like, hey, you know, stay over there in the ugly section. But the dudes behind the ropes popping bottles, you know you usually got dimes with them. The dudes who's out there popping the Ciroc and the Moet and the Chris and the high caliber champagne, you know, they got the dimes with them. Now, the chicks out there drinking daiquiris and Long Island iced teas are usually out there with two or three straws sharing the drinks with the other mud ducks. And the dusty niggas are hollering at them. You dig? So you got to keep your standards up. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Oh, Tariq, what's going on, brother? This is Malik from D.C.
Malik from D.C. What's going on with you, fam?
Nothing much, brother. I wanted to get some quick game, some quick fire from you. That's cool.
Yes, sir. Let's get it in.
All right. Got two quick questions. First question is, I was trying to find out, what's a woman's mentality typically after a divorce? The reason I ask that is because I'm in my early 30s, and I'm starting to notice some of the chicks that I'm starting to date, a lot of them are fresh off a divorce. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, kind of where they're headed at, you know, before everything goes down.
Now, when a woman has just been divorced, it really depends on who initiated the divorce. Because a lot of times, if they have initiated the divorce, if they called it quits, usually women won't call it quits unless they already have a plan. Meaning that they got some alimony coming. They got another little side nigga that they've been looking at. Women, they never get out of a situation without a plan. So if a woman says, I want a divorce from a guy, she has a side nigga already in the loop. She has a lawyer ready to get all her little alimony money. So she's going to be straight. So you got to be kind of careful about the women who initiated a divorce. Because now they probably hopping from another one dick to another. Now, if it's a woman who has been divorced, the dude has kind of sprung a divorce on her, now she's going to be a little more vulnerable. That woman, her self-esteem is
like
going
to
be...
Like in a sense, like she's trying to double dip plus type of deal?
Yeah. Women like that now, you know, they're going to be a little, you know, they need some reassurance dick. You dig? So they're going to be out there like, do I still have it? You know, is anything wrong with me? They're going to be out there looking for validation. Now, somebody who's kind of predatory would take advantage of that, and I would never tell you to do that. But
you
did.
Of course not.
Yeah, no, never take advantage. But if there's some rebound cooch coming your way, I wouldn't be mad if you caught it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You dig? I wouldn't be mad if you caught it. But you got to understand that part of the game. Some women, man, they feel vulnerable. They need reassurance when they get a divorce. So, and some women are just, hey, let me just take it slow. I just got out of a situation. I don't want to jump into something too soon. If they have kids, they might not want to introduce kids to the new nigga. You know, but there's a lot of insecurities that's going to be there. So you got to tread lightly with that one. You feel me?
Okay.
Yes,
gotcha, indeed. Gotcha. And next question is,
go ahead.
Is a woman's family an indicator of how she's going to act to certain things or how she's going to be within a relationship? You know, for example, if she comes from a fucked up situation and she's going to do some wild stuff, you know, is it one of those things where, you know, I can't, you know, I just kind of completely stay clear of somebody who's been through a rough patch or rough childhood?
Yeah, man. And truth be told, you do to a certain degree. Now, there's some people who will try to reject the ideologies of their families. There's some people like that. But truth be told, most people are going to act like the people who raised them to a certain degree. So if you meet a woman and she has a bunch of ratchet ass sisters and aunts and dusty ass uncles and all these old janky relatives, that shit is going to rub off on her somewhere. You dig?
What if Papa was a player?
If the Pop was a player, usually that means that he wasn't around a lot. Mm. So she's going to have abandonment issues, and that's that attention whoring thing is going to be there for a lot of times. And that means she was raised by a single mother, and the single mother probably told her, girl, get everything you can out of a man because he ain't going to be there for you. They done taught them some crazy shit. And that whole cycle of dysfunction comes back. Because black men and women, we have so many dysfunctions created by the system of white supremacy. I never leave that out. That makes our relationships real janky that we have to work out. And unfortunately, when we have ourselves together, we don't want to deal with other people's baggage. That's why a lot of times I don't really trip on people's interracial relationships, you know, because people talk about, you know, being, you know, about black empowerment. I'm all for that. But I understand a lot of times when people date those from other races, because people in the dominant society, on a one-on-one personal level, they're more easy to get along with. Now, within a system of white supremacy, when it becomes a group of them dealing with a group of us, that's when we see the venom and the violence. But on a one-on-one level, we're fooled by the system of white supremacy, because when you date a so-called a white girl, or when a black woman dates a white guy, they treat you extra nice. Everything is hella cool. They put your mind at ease dealing with them, because they don't have a system of oppression that's dealing with them or harming them, so they're more easygoing. And now that they're just dealing with one other black person, hell, they can be extremely extra nice to you and sweet to you, and even shower
that's
you with affection.
The truth right now.
Yeah. So a lot of us are fooled, like, well, shit, white is right. No, it ain't. White is right. These people just don't have the same oppression in their background as another black person does, because like our brother Neely Fuller says, we have poison placed into us by the white supremacists to lash out against each other with. So that's something that we have to get out of our system collectively, so that when we do get together, we ain't just butting heads all the time and bringing baggage to each other. Because that's what happens. Right. We become a laundromat with black relationships. I got a gang of baggage. She has a gang of baggage. The bag has dirty clothes with shit stains, and we're just mad at each other all the time. So it's real crazy, man. But anyway, man, thank you for the call, fam.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Yeah, man, it's real heavy stuff, man. We get fooled, man. Being, you know, dealing with people, man, it really fools you a lot of times. This is why we got to get a system of empowerment so that some of the baggage can be alleviated, because a lot of the baggage that we get, the baggage we get is from being systematically and economically deprived. It's deprivation. That's where the baggage come from. And that deprivation trickles down to fatherlessness, single motherhood, living in the hood. All of that comes from economic deprivation. And you have to fix that through economic empowerment. Real, real deep shit, man. I'm going to have to talk about that in depth on another show. Let's get a couple of calls in here, see what's popping. Real good conversation with the family today. What's up? Who's calling?
Clarence.
Clarence?
Yes, Clarence from Washington, D.C.
Clarence from Washington, D.C. What's on your mind, Clarence?
Hey, what's going on, Sack? My first, I'd like to say thanks for everything you do. Also, I want to let you know that I contributed to a GoFundMe campaign to help get our boy Eric Shepard out.
Yes.
And everybody raised like $5,000. And then when I heard on the radio show that you bailed him out, I'm wondering, like, what happened to that money?
Because most of those were fake websites, man. And unfortunately, I kept trying to tell people, man, you got a lot of opportunists out here, man. You got a whole bunch of fake people. Whenever they see something, they throw up a GoFundMe page or Indiegogo, because now they've learned that's a new little scam thing. They can, and y'all got to be very careful of people putting up these pages, and you don't know who they are. You don't have a track record on them, and none of that shit. Because there were a lot of these pages coming up for Eric Shepard, and none of that was going to that brother, man. None of it was going to him. And there were a lot of Tamir Rice pages, too. Nothing was going to that family. So we got to be very careful, man. We got to do your background on who's putting those pages together, and look at the background of the people, man, because it's heavy. But Eric is fine. Eric Shepard is fine. He's out. I talked to him. My brother's straight. He's cool in the gang. He called me when I was in Atlanta to thank me for bailing him out. So he's good. He's cool in the gang.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I contributed $100, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hit up the person on the page. Like, what happened to that money? Well, we helped with the legal fees.
They didn't help
like,
shit. They didn't help a goddamn thing. That they somewhere smoking that money up, you know?
Okay, well, I think I'm about to hit up the report department to try to see if I can get that, try to get some of that money back.
That's what I did with some of these scamming niggas out here who talk about they making movies and ain't making them. That's exactly what I did. All right, but thanks for the call, fam.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, man. These, you got a lot of people out here scamming and scheming. Yeah, there's some ashy individuals that I had to get my money from when I found out how fraudulent they were. I don't play that shit. You dig? Let's get a couple of more calls because I got to get out of here. I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to pack because I'm rolling out to Detroit. We're leaving tomorrow. I think I got some press to do out there in Detroit on Friday. But I want to see everybody's face in the place in Detroit on Saturday. We're going to have a ball out there on Saturday. One more call. Let's see. This better be a good one. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Chris from D.C.
Hey, man. What's going on with you, fam?
Nothing really. I wanted to actually probably go on a topic, ask you a relationship question.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my thing is, what's up with, like, all these single mothers? Like, it seems like they demand a lot when they're in the position not really to demand a lot, but they're dating somebody that does not have a kid. So it's kind of, you know, backwards. I was wondering, what's a good compass to have going into a relationship or, you know, dealing with a single parent?
Okay, now you say what's a good what to go into the relationship with?
Like a compass, because I don't know, it seems like all the good-looking chicks have kids.
I don't give a damn how good looking they are. If you got kids, that's a strike to a certain degree, because now that's baggage.
Yeah.
That's baggage. That is baggage. And they know it's baggage. Now they can sit up and fake the funk. Just like a dude. If a dude is in a relationship with a woman and he has kids or several kids, that's baggage. So a lot of niggas can't be out here making all these crazy demands to a chick and he has baggage of his own that he's not taking care of, or he may be taking care of, but it's still baggage to a certain degree. But if I'm a man and you're dealing with a woman who has kids, you kind of have to let her know, like, hey, I can do better if you want to be real. So you better show me some major cooperation if I'm dealing with you. You dig? Because there's a lot of women out there who don't have kids, and I can campaign and get my shit together and locate those women. But let them know.
That's the
truth. Just let them know. I can bounce. It's nothing for me to bounce if you're not cooperating correctly. You got to be down to do that.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
Package deal.
It ain't nothing wrong with that if I'm getting the right cooperation. If I'm dating a woman, she has a kid, give me some real good, decent cooperation. Now, I don't want to hear all this. Well, you need to do that. I don't need to do shit. I'm not for county building. I don't need to do a goddamn thing. So just let them know that, you know, you got options, and you're not going to deal with any form of disrespect at all. It's just that simple. You feel me?
Thanks, Tariq, man. Thanks, man.
Much respect, fam. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Let me get up out of here. I got to pack my stuff and get ready. I got to get my haircuts and all that good shit together to get ready to head out to Detroit and all that good stuff. But anyway, fam, don't forget to go get those melanin shirts at TariqElite.com. Get the Flex Step boots at TariqElite.com. Get those Real Fly button-down dress shirts at TariqElite.com. Check out all the pay-per-view specials at MacLessons.com. And y'all can see some of my old lecture videos at MacLessons.com. And I will holla at you guys this Sunday on Ustream, family. So y'all have a great week, and I will see you in Detroit.